This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So the whole world seems to be going electric. I mean, come on. Ford's all-new electric F-150 Lightning earlier this week. All-electric F-150. I know. Well, the aftermarket, of course, I'm an aftermarket nut. The aftermarket is a little kerflunked because they don't really like the electric stuff, and they've kind of hesitated, and many of them are kind of now going, oh, we better do something about this and make some cool stuff for these electric cars, because already Ford's new Mach-E, they're coming out with a Mach-E GT Performance Edition, right? So the aftermarket has got to get off their butts. Well, one of the companies that is both OE, original equipment, and really does some great aftermarket work is Brembo. They're one of our sponsors. Dan Sandberg is the president and CEO of Brembo North America. He's my pal. He's a radio guy. He cut his teeth in the radio world. What were you, Dan? 16 at a radio station?
I just know my teeth are very sharp.
That's right. But he's a radio guy. He's got a nicer studio in his house than I have in my studio. And the first thing he does is we get on here and start talking before the show, and he's telling me, have you heard of this and that microphone and this thing? And I'm like, no, because you're passionate about whatever you do, that's what I like about you.
Aren't all car guys passionate about stuff that they do?
You know, I think so.
We don't just do it, right?
Yeah, you got to take it to the next level. That's what makes a difference between having just a car and a car that has, as Tim Allen has always said, your stink on it.
And like, right. I got a drone, and I don't just have a drone now. I have a pilot's license. I actually went out and got certified by the FAA to fly that thing.
That's awesome. Well, and I think you have to these days, don't you?
You don't have to, but boy, it's hard flying anywhere now without the 107 license.
That's really funny. Listen, I got a boat, and I don't even have a boating license, believe me. And they're like, you're going to get in trouble. I'm like, let them try and catch me. You know?
That sounds like the Allen, I know.
That's right. Anyway, but my son says, oh, you can go online, Dad. It's like a four-hour class. I go, 4 hours online? Anyway. All right, so what I said is important because, you know, I mean, when Ford Motor Company takes the F-150 and makes it all electric, and I know, I don't know a lot about it yet, but I'm reading on this thing going, this is going to be awesome. When Hummer, General Motors, does a 1,000-horsepower Hummer, that thing's going to be awesome. This is a game changer. In the aftermarket, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it's like hopefully when SEMA comes around, because last year we didn't have a SEMA, Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show, they're going to have, I mean, I think all of us are going to just like freak out at what everybody's been doing for the last, you know, 18 months or so since the last SEMA. But you guys have been in from the beginning because Ford Motor Company, I'm sure they've been talking to you for a long time about this Mach-E Mustang electric. And now
we're in the right place at the right time.
Right.
You know, yes. I mean, we have the lightest calipers, the lightest brakes around, both from the caliper part, the part that grabs, and the rotor part, right? So we have lightweight technology, and, you know, electric cars are great, but they can't be really, really heavy. You got the battery already, right? Which makes the car real heavy.
Yep.
So you got to have all the components be as lightweight as possible. And so our stuff is lightweight, and it looks fantastic, you know? So it's a double win for the consumer.
A double dipper. Brembo, the world leader and acknowledged innovator of brake technology, will supply fixed aluminum brake calipers as the stopping partner of choice for the all-electric Ford Mach-E GT and GT Performance Edition.
And it was tricky with this car, you know? You know, it's an SUV. It's got some really nice lines to it and everything else. It's got some really slick wheels. But it was tough fitting our Brembo calipers inside those wheels. So we had to break out the special Brembo treasure chest. we found a Flexera caliper, we call it, and it's a special sized caliper using some interesting technology, which fits inside the wheel.
Well, you know what? Electric cars are just a little bit different in every way, shape, and form. The average person may see one going by. My daughter got a Plymouth. No, not a Plymouth, because Plymouth is gone. It's a Chrysler. What do they call it? Pacifica. That's what it is. The hybrid. And she's trying her butt off to make that thing be electric all the time. So it gets the first like 30 miles on electric. And but when she was backing out of my house the other day, there's this strange sound, like a flying saucer that it makes in reverse. We'll talk more about these electric cars with Dan Sandberg from Brembo right after this. Stay with us.
Hey, sister, know the water's sweet, but blood is thicker. Oh, if the sky comes falling.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search. So we're talking about electric cars with my buddy Dan Sandberg. He is the CEO, president and CEO of Brembo North America. Brembo Brakes, a choice of champions. They're one of our sponsors, and thank you, Dan, for that. Brembo, when you hear the choice of champions, the racing world, I mean, that's what I thought about, and the exotic car world. But not anymore. I mean, it continues to trickle down, and people, they realize as they're able to put more horsepower. For example, this just announced, where is it? I had it here somewhere. Oh, it's right over here. This just announced 775 pound-feet of torque out of the electric F-150 with a targeted 563 horsepower. That is so awesome. That's more than the Ford Raptor has out of the gate, right?
And a lot of mass. All right.
Right.
Those cars are heavy, right? They got the battery underneath. It's a good place. You get nice feeling of handling, right? Because you got that low center of gravity. But there's a lot of what they call horsepower. It's really, I don't know if it's really horsepower. I don't know. It's electric power. But the speed is unbelievable. Like this, the Mach-E that we were talking about, 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds.
I know. It's insane. That was my Viper. My Viper, that's what that did. It's like, wait a minute. This Mach-E is like an SUV. How do they do it? What about the Hummer? 1,000 horsepower. Same thing. Yeah. 0 to 60 in like nothing. It's like, what is going on?
It's not just horsepower like you and I know it, right? It's not just this winding up.
Bam.
Horsepower. It is immediate torque, 1 mile an hour. Boom.
Yeah. I always tell people, when you turn on the light in your house, it goes bam and it's on. That's how it is with electric horsepower. They actually have to modulate it back. Otherwise, your head would fly off your shoulders, you know.
Everything that was talking to the guys at Ford, and I said, we are all going to have better neck muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
After the electrics get, you know, become day-to-day cars for us. Yeah. Because you have to hold on. It's a thrill to drive those cars. And people, I think people are picturing like golf carts or something that they're going to be driving, and that is not going to be the case.
That was me. That was me. Honestly, all I could think was, and I have a nice little golf cart, you know, but anymore, like here, perfect example. Look at this: 563 horsepower, 775 pound-feet of torque out of the new electric F-150 Lightning. It says the most torque of any F-150 ever. An exhilarating drive, high-tech funk, which is funny, and the ability to power your home if needed, because it's a big fat generator sitting there. Now, that has just been launched to the world. We've been hearing about it for a few weeks, but earlier this week, so we'll get somebody on the show today to talk about it, but you have driven the Mach-E. I have not even driven the Mach-E.
No, it is fast. I mean, it is a fast car. It is... it's great. I think Ford did a fantastic job on the car. I have to tell you. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, everybody knows the T word, Tesla, you know.
Yeah.
There's going to be no T envy when you drive this car. I think it's going to meet all the needs. It's got the Mustang styling. I know some Mustang guys, like you and I are,
yeah,
right?
Right.
But some Mustang guys don't like the fact that they use that brand. But it's deserving. It's deserving of the logo.
Yeah, well, I'm interested in what the future holds with electric vehicles. I'm very happy to see that Brembo, through your leadership in North America anyway, you guys are stepping up to the plate way early. So your OE, original equipment stuff on these vehicles, but you have also, you know, a lot of aftermarket products available.
We still sell kits for those who can't get Brembo on the OE side. We sell kits that are very nice and do the trick. And especially if you've tuned up your car and added some horsepower, added some slick tires, you need the brakes to be able to stop that.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say earlier is, are you guys involved in the F-150 at all? I mean, you know, can you even talk about that?
I can't talk about that.
that I means will. A little bit, something going on there, which is good. Listen, it's good. But electric vehicles, I mean, I'm still kind of a horsepower guy, you know, raw V8, internal combustion, you know, I love that. But I also am starting to go, you know what, God, how are you going to get 1,000 horsepower like with the Hummer and even this F-150? My son-in-law, he's a contractor and he's going, you know what? I think this has got to be my next vehicle, period, because it's a generator on site for the work and I can plug it home at night and it's easier and cheaper. And we live in a small town and it doesn't drive that far. But anyway, electric vehicles are great. Yeah, exactly. We'll take a little break, come back, and we can talk Mustangs a little bit since we both have one each. I think mine's better. We'll take a break. Dan Sandberg is with us from Brembo, North America. Be right back. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is also brought to you in part by Autotempest.com. They make online car shopping easy. With the powerful Autotempest.com search engine, you can simultaneously search all the top car sites like Carvana, Cars.com, TrueCar, Hemmings.com, and even Cars and Bids and many others. Check out And when Dan Sandberg's on the phone, I know he's going, he's having to read this off a piece of paper. I am, because I got to get it right. Check out autotempest.com. All the cars, one search. I don't want to hear your blathering in the background making fun of me. I'm just trying. I still have COVID. COVID fog. Honestly, it's a real thing. It's a real thing.
How did you get COVID fog then before COVID was even invented? I mean, that was a year.
I've had COVID for 15 years. Leave me alone.
Okay.
So, no. Honestly, some days I just can't read. I can't think. And it's like, what happened? No, it's that too. That's dementia. That's coming in on next. All right. So the aftermarket, real quick. We talked about the aftermarket. Are you guys doing anything special at SEMA this year? Are you even going?
Well, I think we're going to go.
Yeah.
I think we got to. But so, I have something to tell you about that, you know, is kind of along the lines of what we were just talking about. This is something that you probably would see at SEMA, but we just released a new caliper for motorcycles. And it's in honor of our 60th anniversary. You remember our 50th, don't you?
Yes,
I think,
sir.
I did interviews with you 10 years ago.
I know. It's crazy.
But we're at our 60th anniversary and we're celebrating it by releasing this new anniversary caliper But what is different about this caliper? It's called the G 60. 60 is a 60th, right? Ooh, ooh. And G is named after one of our old-time designers, Giovanni Gotti, who designed calipers for motorcycles. But this caliper lights up.
Oh, no.
Yes. It has a light inside that's built into the caliper.
So it looks like it's red hot.
Exactly. And it has connectivity. Right? It's a big thing these days. Connectivity to an iPhone or a phone, right?
What?
And you can control the light, and it actually will do other features in the future that will have connectivity with your brakes. It could be wear. It could be mileage. It could be any issues that you might have. But it's the first step. And, of course, you can turn the light on and off, and I would bet you'd be able to change the colors of that light, too. Is that cool or what?
Yeah, I see it at night. I can't wait, man. That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool, and that's something that you would see at SEMA, I think.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to say. That sounds like something you need to show off over there.
But, you know, it's cool. It's the future, you know, and you have to do these kind of things.
No, it's
and
good.
I think it's forget the future. I think it's just kind of cool.
Yeah, it is cool. All right, so let's talk Mustang since we're both owners and you have
you
driven
finally
the
got yours, didn't you?
No, I haven't got it yet, but it's finally ready. How's that? You know, because of the COVID thing we all went through in 2020, my 2020 GT500, Dan got his. I didn't get mine because I had it delivered straight over to Shelby. And then, of course, there was a supply chain issue, which everybody was dealing with. Do you guys have any problems with that?
Yeah, we're having a little bit. You know, when they can't make cars, we can't sell brakes.
There you go.
Problem. But, yeah, I mean, it's a problem. But, you know, luckily we're on some of the great cars that are extremely popular. And, you know, they can't get chips for every car, but you know what they're going to make, right? They're going to make the most popular vehicles.
There you
go.
That's
luckily,
right.
We're on a lot of those. So it's affected us a little bit. But when are you going to get this car?
Well, I'm supposed to get it.
Finally get it.
Like next week, maybe, or maybe the week. Whenever I can go to Vegas, I can get it because it's at Shelby American over in Vegas, which is right kind of just down the way from Mandalay Bay. And it's, you know, Gary Patterson, my buddy, sent me a picture of it. He goes, here it is. And it was like a delivery pre-inspection and they're getting ready to do it. But I had a Carroll Shelby special edition package done. My car is serial number 8. Like my Demon was also serial number 8 and Ford stepped up and gave me serial number 8 GT500. Didn't give it to me. I had to buy it, which is fine. And but Shelby says, you know what? I think we've got serial number 8 for this special edition car we're doing. I said, I'll take it. So
you're going to love the car.
Now it's
you
eight.
Missed Mustang Day this year. I was at Mustang Day. Ford actually sponsored a little bit of it, of course.
Yeah.
It was down in the old train station, downtown Detroit.
Nice.
And 130-some Mustangs from the beginning of time to the ends of the earth were at that event. They
That's
even
cool.
had some Mach-E's there. Yeah. And we drove all. I mean, it's really kind of cool.
But
I
how
mean,
many miles are on your car now? Mustangs. How many miles? How many miles you put on your car?
Did I put on it that day?
No, so far. You've had it for almost
600. Let me look up my Ford. Let me look up my Ford app. But I think 685 miles.
That's it. Oh, my gosh. You've had it for like 8 months, 9 months. Come on. Get in that thing.
But I got it, and then it had to get coated and wrapped.
Yeah, you know, and then winter came.
For the month. And that's then winter funny. Happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't – I will tell you, it is difficult driving a 700, 800 horsepower.
Right. No, 760. Yours is not 800. Mine is 800.
Anyway, it's tough driving a car like that in the winter.
I know, right? But I know you've got the track pack, and I've got the special edition, Carroll Shelby special edition. So, it's going to be fun. I can't wait till somewhere when we're going to get our cars together and have them do a little dueling and see which one does better. But
you
I think
they are beautiful cars.
Yeah,
and I have
are.
To tell you, when I drive this car, every time I take it out, no matter how short the drive, somebody will say something. Somebody will roll down a window next door, honk, and say that is just a beautiful car. It's Americana, right?
Yeah, true story. Brembo steps up and they've got this groundbreaking Flexera front brake calipers that are going to be fitted on the Mustang Mach-E GT and GT Performance Edition. And we've been talking about that with the CEO, Dan Sandberg. Dan, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you. We should do it more often, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, brother.
See you soon, live.
Yeah, for sure. All right. We're going to be right back with more. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the new Outback. Go where love takes you, says Subaru. Thank you for the sponsorship for many, many years. I think more than a decade now. Lauren Fix, my friend Lauren Fix, is joining us. And she is the car coach, Car Coach Reports. And online, carcoachreports.com. That's her outlet. You can also find her at all social media things at Lauren Fix. And you might see her on the Weather Channel one day and on Fox News one day, on CNN one day. She's all over the place. But thank you for talking to us. First of all, where are you?
I am currently in Amelia Island for the wonderful Concours d'Elegance, which this year got moved to May, and I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Yeah, I wanted to be there. Bill Warner, the guy who started it all, is a friend of mine, invited me. Dick Messer, who was, he was the director of the Peterson Automotive Museum where we used to do the show, said, come stay with me. And I said, you know what? Both my parents just passed away. I just got over COVID. So I literally am in recovery myself from whoo, one heck of a couple of months, Lauren. I know you know that, but you know.
Oh, I know. I'm glad that you're doing better considering the circumstances.
Yeah.
It's never good.
No, I know. But you know what? My parents were 90 and 93. They lived, my dad and mom both lived a wonderful life and a life full of meaning and have five kids and probably 20 grandkids and a bunch of great grandkids. And so I know they're in a better place, but I could be in a better place standing next to you at Amelia Island Concours. If you see Bill and Dick Messer and any of the other friends, tell them I said hello if you would. So I'm glad you're there.
I will. And Chris Brewer is here too. I know you know Chris.
Oh yeah, Chris is a friend.
All good people.
Yeah. No. The only other place that I am going to try to go, I wanted to go to this event. I am going to go to Pebble Beach this year for the Pebble Beach Concours, which is August 15th.
That's limited, very limited.
Why? What do you mean limited? Who said? What's going on? What am I missing?
Well, I got some inside scoop. We were going to go to Pebble Beach, and I've been told that they're going to limit how many people are going to be there. They're going to limit the attendance, and you're going to have to buy tickets in advance. There's nothing at the door. There'll be a lot less parties, a lot less. You know, usually Pebble Beach is crazy.
Right.
There's a race going on at the same time. There's three auctions and a show and, you got the quail and everything else. A lot of it's going to be very limited.
Mm.
So I think I'm going to wait out this year and go next year because Amelia's open because it's Florida.
Right.
No one's wearing masks. It's freedom down here.
Right.
And California, not yet.
Yeah. Well, hopefully by August, maybe something will change, right? So let's get into this. Now, first of all, people that don't know Lauren Fix, she's a racer. She's an entrepreneur extraordinaire, worked at a brake company. I mean, actually, your family owned this, right? And
I sold out in 96. Yeah, I got out of it. Got out in the late 90s.
Okay. So, but you and an automotive journalist, but a racer and a car collector as well. Both of us own, and you're the three on this show today, the third that owns a GT500. I have not even gotten mine yet. You've gotten yours, you and Dan Sandberg.
You still don't have yours?
No, because I took it to Shelby last August when I got it. And they're doing an SE package, special edition. But because of all the garbage with the COVID and everything, they couldn't get some parts. You know, the carbon fiber hood and this, that, and the other. But it's ready now. They say it's ready. So I get to finally get it, hopefully, here in the next few weeks.
That's worth the trip. That's a whole, if you have not been to Shelby American, it is so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
And the people there are really amazing. And if you ever get the chance to meet Aaron Shelby, I know you know him.
Yes.
But for your listeners, if you ever get a chance to meet him, he is the nicest man.
He really is.
Yep.
Gary Patterson, who's the president of Shelby, and Carol Shelby's grandson, Aaron, who was a banker. And he's like He's just grandpa to me. And now he's, of course, very involved with Shelby American. So it's great. But let's talk about what happened earlier this week. Ford came out with the F-150, the electric F-150. They're calling it the Lightning, which is kind of bringing an old name back. And I think it's great. Nothing wrong with it. But I did not watch it. I know that they did this online thing. Maybe you could give a little thing. I purposely didn't because I like to be the inquiring mind. Because if I'm going to talk about it, I'll talk too much. So I'm asking the questions today. What did you think about it, Lauren?
Well, I'm not, as you know, I like to burn dinosaurs. I like to melt them down. So for me, I will not own an electric vehicle. So I am not your perfect EV person. And they know that. As a matter of fact, a very good friend of ours who was in charge of Ford Performance said, yeah, your name was brought up on someone who will never buy a Mustang Mach-E. And I go, you're right. Because the word Mustang to me is what I have in my garage, which is Shelby's 65, 66 cars. I have a GT350R Heritage. I've got a 500 like you do. I mean, I've got cars that, you know, that are powerful and I like them that way as a racer. I understand all about electric cars and my background is all technical, but as far as this F-150, if you're going to build an electric truck and beat General Motors with their Hummer,
right?
They have a Hummer EV truck, they have a Hummer EV SUV. If you're going to beat them to market, you better be on it. So General Motors is coming out with the Hummer lineup. You've got Rivian with their R1T. You've got the Tesla Cybertruck, which we may never see in our lifetime because that's how Elon Musk operates.
Right.
You know, lots of promises. Jack up the price of the stock and then go, oh, yeah, that's next year. You know?
Right, right.
But that's just Elon Musk. He makes P.T. Barnum look like amateur hour. But either way, you know, eventually we'll see something. We'll see what it actually looks like. But every manufacturer is starting to do this because they don't want to pay the fee to the EPA with all the carbon fees they're going to start dealing them with. So what does that mean? That means that Ford comes out with their F-150 using the existing chassis, different propulsion. So instead of gas or hybrid or diesel, which they offer all of the above, they're also going to offer electric. And I think you did it right. It looks really good. And when you pop the front hood or the frunk, where an engine typically would be, that's a big engine bay.
Frunk.
Pop the hood on it. It comes to that. That's like the name is front. Trunk is a frunk.
Right.
I know, it's a little bit hokey. But think about this. If you were to take that front trunk and use that whole engine bay and fill it with storage capacity, that is very smart. Now, General Motors typically doesn't do that. They take that front area and they put all the electronics there. So they have other room in other places.
Right.
So this gives you not just storage in the front, but also a huge regular truck bed that has a payload of 2,000 pounds and a 10,000 pound towing capacity and some serious horsepower and torque. So I think they did a great job.
All right. Well, let me just say this. I want to take a break, but 775 pound feet of torque with 563 horsepower, an electric, all electric F-150. I kind of want to drive that thing. And I know nobody has yet.
Oh, wait, I want to, too.
Yeah, I just want to see what it feels like and how they handle it. Don't go anywhere. You can find Lauren Fix at carcoachreports.com or at Lauren Fix on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and the rest. I'm Alan Taylor. This is The Drive. We're going to talk more about this and other stuff with Lauren right after this. Don't go anywhere. My Spanish Harlem Mona Lisa. When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink Multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models. A little ZZ Top for you. Lauren Fix joining us, the car coach. CarCoachReports.com on the web. And we're talking about this new all-electric Ford F-150 Lightning. And I think it's smart. Now, And hopefully I'll get a chance to continue talking about this because it's an important vehicle to Ford Motor Company, to the American car makers, and one that is going to really kick Tesla and his Cybertruck to the curb, I think, because it's here.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's here. And it's. I think they announced the pricing, didn't they? Like just under 40 grand or something?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a regular F-150, like just a little under 30. This is a little under 40.
Right.
I'm sure they're going to have, like, the loaded platinum versions and sure. such, so you're going to bring that price up. But if you just need a truck and you're working, that's great. But I did see something. I don't know if they covered it last. I don't remember specifically. There is a patent that has been placed from Ford, a range extender. So that would mean you're out on site. You're working, you need power, you're out, you used it for whatever. This would be like an onboard generator that's different than the onboard generator that has. It would be a range extender. That would be cool.
Mm-mm-mm. So perhaps a little three-cylinder, you know, gas or diesel engine or something, kind of like, because they've already had the Volt, V-O-L-T, which the Volt
they're
is gone.
They're gone now.
Right, they're gone. But now here comes the Bolt, B-O-L-T, which is all electric. But if they had a range extender, like a little engine that would, you know, start up and charge the batteries on a truck, and if it was small enough, I personally think that would be brilliant.
I think it would be brilliant as well. And I, actually, that would make people like myself consider one.
And I'm wondering why they didn't do this in a three-quarter ton. They only put this in the half ton, the F-150. And I've got to imagine it's a heavy half, you know, because this is going to work for the contractors. And the contractor typically, of course, because of the fuel economy, he wants, you know, the F-150 lately. But if the F-150 and the F-250, because it could carry more, 10,000 pounds, to tow is a lot of weight to tow with a half ton. I have to tell you that it's a little, right. You know, scary to tow that much weight, even though it's capable. I'd want that behind a 3/4 ton. Maybe that's the future. Who knows?
You never know. I mean, I have a 1 ton dually, so I'm used to hauling, you know, a fifth wheel trailer or something like that with race cars. And so that's a different situation because when you have that kind of weight, especially when it's, you know, it's on a fifth wheel or it's on a gooseneck, you're going to need some serious torque. And if you were to put a battery in there, you'd burn that battery up quickly because you got to pull all of that. Yes, you can pull anything, and yeah, it's got all this towing capacity, but as I keep saying to people, how long is that battery going to last when you got a full load? And that, I think that's some of the limitations of any electric vehicle.
By the way, I just found the entry model start at $39,974 before any federal tax credits. So that would actually bring it down a little bit with tax credits, while the midsize XLT starts at higher at $52,974. Let's see here. And the F-150 Lightning, number one best-selling brand, blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking at some of the stuff. 2,000-pound payload, 1 ton in the bed of a half-ton truck. So that's pretty darn impressive. I personally think this is a game changer. I can't wait to drive it. I think that'll be the big thing. Okay. Well,
I think it's a game changer as well. I think for Ford to come out of the box, we know they've been planning this, and they've gotten much smarter at getting their product out to market. I mean, if we'll go back to the Thunderbird days, and not the old Thunderbirds, the last time you and I saw Thunderbirds at the Detroit Auto Show, and it took forever for them to get the product to market, and everyone was all hyped, and it was sort of disappointing. In this case, they flipped the tables. And I said, wait a minute, we're going to finish this, get it right, and then we're going to announce it. And I think they've been doing that with the Mach-E. They've been doing that with a lot of their new products. And this F-150 Lightning, I think, is going to be a winner for them. They've already got 20,000 deposits already in just one night.
Wow.
It hasn't even been 24 hours. And those are, and my daughter's name is Shelby, of course, so we're car people.
Right.
She says, oh, Mom, she says, that's got to be fleet. I go, oh, no. These are individuals. These are people that saw it and they want it. They're tired of waiting on a Cybertruck they may never see.
Yeah.
So I think this is a winner.
It's funny. My daughter the other day, she goes, Dad, how come you don't buy a Cybertruck? She goes, I think they're going to be cool. We were just having one of these kind of around the dinner table. And I go, there's no such thing as a Cybertruck first. And like you said, we may never see one. So, yeah, I don't
know. That is it. There's no way it's going to look like that. It's got this whole shovel nose thing. And I kind of chuckle to myself when I see that, because you and I both know when you got a pointed nose on the front of a vehicle, that's like never going to pass National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's going to have some sort of front grill on it or some flat area. And he's got it nice and shiny because it's stainless, which stainless is heavy, number one. Even if you used aluminum, you can't have a shiny vehicle on the road because you'd be blinding other drivers. So what you saw is great in prototype, but in reality, there's no way it's going to look just like that. And exactly. So that's why I think a lot of people are going to be on the disappointed side.
Yep. This new F-150 Lightning all-electric will have a targeted range of 54 miles in a 10-minute charge. That's pretty crazy. All right, we're going to take a break. Lauren Fix is with us one more segment. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere. The leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And I'm talking to my buddy Lauren Fix, carcoachreports.com on the web. She's also on the North American Car of the Year jury and World Car of the Year. What else does she do? She's on television all the time. She's got a YouTube channel. She does test drive reviews. She's a very prolific car reporter. And has her own fun way of doing it, and that's why she's on the show with us today. So, can we?
Thank you, Alan.
Yes, my pleasure. What is your YouTube channel, so people, in case they're YouTubing?
I'm easy to find. It's Car Coach Reports. We cover not just car reviews.
Okay.
We cover good news information, and we give you car smarts because knowledge is power.
There you go. So it's all Car Coach Reports, and then on social media at Lauren Fix. A couple of questions. The pipeline. I mean, I know you're on the East Coast. Did it affect you guys? I mean, we're paying $4 a gallon for gas on the West Coast over here. You know, four and five.
$4 a gallon?
Yeah. That's cheap.
Yikes. That is high. Okay, so I drove from Buffalo, New York to Amelia Island literally the weekend that all this kind of went nuts with the pipeline and everyone started freaking out. Oh, my God. Right? So. But I have a diesel. I have a diesel SUV.
Yeah.
So we loaded up the dog and the kid. Well, we took two diesel SUVs, actually. Took the dog. And on our way down, I started realizing gas prices. So we decided to make a little game of it to see the price of regular and the price of diesel. Diesel got as high as $4.50, which was highway robbery.
Right.
So we got on this app, and I don't work for them. I have no connection to them, called Gas Buddy. But they had an availability part of their app. So we were using that to find, I only have to stop once for diesel, but shouldn't have stopping for, bathroom breaks. And we were kind of like looking at it as we went along to see everything. It was very interesting to see the price of fuel. Now, down here in Florida, they weren't affected by the pipeline because the pipeline goes from D.C. and cuts across North Carolina, Virginia, and then it starts arcing toward Texas. So because of that, the interesting thing is that you instantly notice the price of fuel. As you head outside of Atlanta, the price started dropping. By the time we get down here, it's, $2.75 for diesel, $2.25 for gas. So what happened was that pipeline was hacked. From another country, we don't know where, we were told it's Russia, we don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to go down the Russia thing, so I have no idea. Somebody, somewhere, figured out how to hack these guys. And I guess the system had been warned a year ago, hey, listen, this is like high school Microsoft 2000, dude. You got to get with it and not make your password.
Right, right.
Oh, my gosh. They got caught up.
Yeah.
And they hacked how they build them, not how it was transported, but how the people at the end of the line were built. So if they couldn't make money for how much the fuel would cost, they're not going to send it to you. So they shut the whole system down, which was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they paid $5 million
which
in
is
crypto.
You know what? That's cheap.
The hackers were.
That's cheap, though. I got to tell you. Considering, think of that. That's like a penny a gallon or something. You know, it's nothing. So
yeah, but they jacked the prices higher than that, didn't they?
Yeah, we paid for it. They didn't pay for it. Anyway.
Well, you know, you start to wonder, could this be, I'm not going to be a conspiracy theorist, you can think about this if you wish, could it be that someone maybe in the government did this in order to force us to look at electric vehicles?
Oh.
Well,
very interesting.
It's funny. When they asked Granholm, who is in charge of the energy department, she says, well, you know, the smartest way to transport fuel is the pipeline. It's like, well, you just shut down the pipeline.
I know.
Well, if you had an electric car, you wouldn't have this problem. Really?
Yeah.
Because you're telling the average Joe, hey, you know that car you have that's like 10 years old that runs perfectly fine, you don't have any payments on it? You're going to have to sell that to buy an electric car so you have car payments and your insurance doubles and you got to pay for electricity? Right, because if people could do that, they'd just buy a new car. But they can't. That's why they keep their vehicle.
That's right.
Genius moves from the government at large.
There you go. Well, and the price of used cars has gone through the roof, and even new cars, you know, it's like the most of the car lots around, they're empty. And from what I hear in Detroit, there's brand new cars sitting everywhere waiting for those microchips that are, you know, finally starting to come in. So, all right, little sister.
There's a whole field in Kentucky full of them.
I know. At Lauren Fix, social media, carcoachreports.com, and have fun at Amelia Island.
I will. I wish you were here.
I wish I was there, too, but I'm okay. I got a new mower. Got a really nice zero turn, you know, I'm mowing all week. I know. I'll put a new, I got a Cub Cadet. It's nice. Ooh, the horsepower, 23. I can feel it.
Give me a review of that thing.
Have fun out there, Lauren. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be back after the news and a commercial break. Stay with us.
Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you?
Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is time to find out some real newsy news from Brian Moody from autotrader.com. Brian, the summertime is here, and you know, I was just talking to Lauren Fix in the last segments of that last hour, because this is hour two of the show. And she was talking about, we were talking a little bit about the pipeline and how it kind of disrupted things. But a lot of people are going to be traveling this summer. And so gas prices are really on people's mind. I mean, truly, I sold my Raptor with a 6.2 liter V8.
Because
it was only getting 10 miles to the gallon. I love that Raptor. I loved it, but I didn't love a $100 fill up and only getting 3/4 of a tank. So what do you know about gas prices for the summer?
Well, it's not good news for people with 6.2 liter V8. Let's just say that.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like for the summer, travelers will probably pay higher prices, probably even the highest fuel prices since 2014. So Gas Buddy did a survey recently and found that the average price of gas is going to be about $2.98 per gallon, and that's for the early part of summer. That's more than a dollar increase over a similar time last year. So gas prices are going to be a little high, according to our friends at Gas Buddy. But the bad thing is when I say highest since 2014, in 2014, they were around $3.66 per gallon. So, you know, it's good that you want to go on a road trip, but maybe take the fuel-efficient car.
Right.
The thing.
Right. Well, and people are buying RVs like crazy because they're going to do the staycation, kind of stay home in the USA instead of flying internationally and God knows where. You know, at least if you're in your own RV, even you're not having to stay in a hotel. So you know the environment. You're taking your environment, your safe environment on the road. And RVs don't get good fuel economy. But you know what? I still think that for the adventure that you will get, RVing is something that is just so fun. It's going to cost a little bit extra this summer, maybe.
I agree.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. The one thing that's kind of weird, though, is that that Colonial Pipeline thing, it coincides with the reformulated summer gas, which, you know, they have a different blend versus winter, so it won't evaporate so quickly. But that can add up to 15 cents per gallon. So those two things coinciding is not helping the person who's going to get hit at the pump. But like you said, is that going to keep you from doing your trip? I hope not. I still want to do mine. I'm still going to go on a trip in a couple of days. So yeah, I'm hitting the road.
It's the cost of the vacation. Now, we know that normally, you know, we got to fly if you're going to go to Hawaii or Florida or wherever the heck you're going to go, California. You're going to have to fly your family there. You got to, you know, stay in hotels. And if you're RVing, there, you know, that part of it's not there. So you have your RV. That's, of course, that's the payment for the RV, I guess, and the gas and the food and camping and the experience. Something you can't get at a hotel is, you know, campground experience or being off grid and all that. So it's well worth it, America, for sure.
You know, they even have like luxury RV stops now. You can get room service and laundry and all that kind of stuff if you look for those kind of glamping sort of things.
Right. Glamping, glamour camping. No, and you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. I used to be the guy that would, you know, take a tent, everything in a backpack, and I was fine. Anymore, man, I like my, you know, my bed that has all the foam and all that. I can't help it, you know? It's
no, I don't blame you.
Yeah. So the gas prices for the summer are going to be up. You just have to get used to that. Yeah. And this Colonial Pipeline thing, it's, you know, listen, we were talking, Lauren and I were talking, you know, was it conspiracy theory? Is it so they'll get people to buy more electric vehicles? And, you know, who's behind it at the end of the day? You know, but it is kind of an interesting thing because all of a sudden everybody's offering something electric that's actually kind of pretty cool, you know, because it's an option.
Right, and a lot of those electric cars are cool, but, like, it doesn't – having the pipeline get hacked or whatever doesn't exactly restore my – you know, confidence in the government to run the electricity any better. I mean, look at Texas, do a great job. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to put a bunch of, anytime you consolidate resources like that, you're just taking a bigger risk. Whereas, you know,
true story.
I don't know.
All right. Well, let's do this. 'Cause my daughter bought a plug-in hybrid. She loves it. So let's talk plug-in hybrids when we come back.
Yep.
All right. Brian Moody, executive editor, autotrader.com. You guys can find all kinds of great information there and or buy and sell. So it's not just buy and sell like it used to be when I was doing it 30 years ago. Now it's a full resource. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Well, you're listening to The Drive all across America. I'm Alan Taylor. Brian Moody joining me right now from autotrader.com. And our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions. And first hour of the show, we had my buddy, the president CEO of Brembo North America on the show, talking about, I was asking him if they were involved in any way with the new F-150 Lightning electric vehicle. He says, I can't really tell you right now. So there must be some Brembo product on there. And then also they made a big announcement that the electric Mach-E Mustang GT has Brembo brakes, which You know, it's funny because electric cars, you know, when you first thought of electric cars, the first one that came to my mind used to be the Toyota Prius. Of course, that was hybrid. And now they make an electric version of that. I don't even know what they call that electric version. What is it called? Do you know?
The Prius Prime.
There you go. I think it's some name.
And then they have the RAV4 Prime. So those are plug-in hybrids, like
right.
You were saying. You plug it in,
right?
Charge it up, drive around on just electricity for a while, and then when that runs out, then the gas engine kicks in, so you don't have to worry about being stranded.
Right. Well, and so my daughter decides, you know, she needs a minivan, and the Chrysler Pacifica makes a really nice plug-in hybrid. I happen to have one, and it would have been the last thing she would have thought about till I let her take it for a drive. And she goes, this is cool. First 30 miles on electricity. So she was trying.
And 30 miles is actually a lot.
Right. I know, for a minivan, which is a pretty good sized thing. Now, she got the Pinnacle,
yeah.
Which is like, you know, the Pinnacle is
the
obviously.
The nicest one.
Yes. And I got to tell you, man, it's like a Bentley inside. But they got 995 miles out of their first tank of gas because she was just driving around town. And they said they would have even gotten more than that had she not gone to Costco, which is like 30 miles. And she couldn't plug in over there. So
yeah.
She's like, Dad, I'm going to save the payment we're making on this thing in fuel economy from the GMC Denali, which was like 12 miles
yeah.
the gallon. So, yeah, she's very happy with it. But so what do you got there in the way of plug-in hybrids?
Well, so here's a couple things. I think that a lot of people are like saying, well, what's the point? You can only go 20 or 30 miles on electricity, and then it goes to gas. But like your example, and I have an example as well. I recently took a road trip in a Lincoln Aviator that was a plug-in hybrid, and then also driving a Volvo XC60 Recharge. So in Volvo terms, the Recharge means electrified, either all electric or plug-in hybrid. In the Volvo, I'm getting nearly 80 miles per gallon because I plug in every time I come home, and I don't drive far on a
daily. Perfect.
So it works for me. I like the electricity. I like going to get coffee. I like going to pick up my kid from school. I go to the office. I'm lucky. I don't go to the office much, you know, like every once in a while. But all those things can be done on just electricity. And like you were saying, it ends up being that I haven't gotten gas in more than a month. So,
right.
But that's for around town. So one thing I found that was a little bit of a, you know, maybe we're not quite ready for electric cars. I took this Lincoln Aviator, which is a plug-in hybrid. It's a great car. It's super smooth, has like lots of features. Like you were saying, it's next level luxury, Bentley-like inside. It's black label. But here's the thing. There's no chargers at hotels. So I could have been charging my car up overnight. While I slept in the hotel, but
right.
I couldn't find any that had that.
You know, what's interesting, I just saw something from a Ford Motor Company because of the F-150. They just launched the new Lightning F-150. It says, on the road, customers have seamless access to North America's largest public charging network through Ford Pass. Okay, that's nice. With more than 63,000 charging plugs and growing on the U.S. Let's see here, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and so 63,000 plug-ins, you know, and think how many gas stations there are, right? There's probably 630,000 gas stations, you know what I'm saying? So it'd be interesting to find out how many gas stations there are. So there's a long way. We've always talked about this, the infrastructure of refueling or recharging. That'll be the
right.
electric car's biggest Achilles heel is not enough places. Like you just said, every single hotel should have these hotel chains.
Should have one.
Listen
yeah,
up.
I agree. And so I was driving this car on a road trip because I couldn't plug in too much. I was getting 28 miles per gallon.
Yeah.
Now that's really good for a 3-row luxury SUV. But if I could plug in at every hotel that I stayed at, this is out in California, it would have been even better.
Right.
So we're not quite there yet. I think plug-in hybrids are a good way to bridge the gap. And so shop wisely. Get one that has a long electric range. The Volvo has a 20-mile range. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
80 miles per gallon. That's really good.
Really good. Yeah. No, these are great. Plug-in hybrids are really great because no matter what, like Brian said, you still get 28 miles to the gallon even if you can't plug in. All right. Hang tight, Brian. We'll come back and talk more about this kind of stuff. Brian Moody. Executive Editor, Autotrader.com. Autotrader.com. We'll be right back.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine and 11.6 inch touchscreen available on select models.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. And I got to tell you, it's interesting how many good deals there are. I mean, check out Dodge Power Dollars. I was amazed. I was watching Jeep and they got deals and Ram, they've got deals. I'm thinking to myself, how do they do that? A lot of the automakers don't even have cars to sell, and they still keep offering these amazing deals through Dodge and the other brands there. Brian Moody joining us from autotrader.com. You know, we were talking about a lot today on the show. Electric cars, hybrid cars, electric trucks now. The one thing that I think is very funny is how people are kind of talking about Elon Musk and his Cybertruck and how it's kind of vaporware, you know, because it doesn't really exist, yeah. Right? And here comes Ford with this F-150 Lightning. I got to think, you know, they were probably trying to re-engineer and create this whole thing. And somebody probably says, why don't we just use the existing platform, the existing truck, and try to shoehorn in a big old battery? And that'll give us a trunk, or as Lauren called it, a frunk, whatever they call that, where the engine would go. And so hats off to Ford, because boom, they're going to market, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So there's a lot of interesting features on this F-150 pickup, all electric pickup. And, you know, people complain about the price and all that. I agree with what Lauren said. There's the fantasy world, and then there's the real world.
Right.
And listen, Ford's not going to come out with something like this and mess it up, something they can't deliver on.
Right.
And when they say, you know how these things work, there's a huge legal team that's going to vet everything they say. When they say 573 horsepower and 775 pound-feet of torque, you know it's going to be close to that. They won't just make that up.
Right.
And the result is that the F-150 Lightning is quicker than a Raptor. So that right there should get a lot of people's attention. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that frunk, not only is there a frunk, it's lockable. It has a drain so you can have liquid in there. It has USB ports inside, and it's power open and closing, and it can hold 400 pounds of stuff inside.
It's so power open. Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Does the Cybertruck have that? We don't know.
Yeah.
It's not a real thing. Also, the F-150 can power your house for 3 days.
Right.
You have it charged up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, I think it's brilliant. And here I'm reading... there's so much coming out because they literally just a couple days ago launched it. Proudly assembled in America, the F-150 Lightning will make use of the new state-of-the-art Rouge Electric Vehicle Center, which will also be a zero-waste landfill site. Ford is investing $700 million into the historic Rouge complex, adding also 500 new jobs. Fantastic. It's fantastic. Good for Ford.
It's awesome.
Well, and also, you know what else? They're not trying to do what Elon Musk did with his Cybertruck, make some space-age-looking thing that came from Mars. It looks is an F-150.
Space age in what year, Alan?
Well,
space age in 1996 or space age in 1967? I don't know. I couldn't tell.
Well, that wedge thing that Elon Musk showed.
Yeah.
I told everybody.
Listen,
I said,
I like Logan's Run too.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't make me want to buy a car from there.
Yeah, that's not going to be what it's going to look like. And I think this is really kind of, well, it's really making Elon Musk look not so good, if you know what I mean. Only because.
Yeah.
Here it is, and where's yours, Elon? And, you know, all that kind of stuff, so I don't know.
Exactly right, exactly right. Frunk, I mean, 300-mile range, and the price for the Ford's not bad. For a work truck, it's going to be around $40,000.
Right.
For an XLT, it's going to be about $50,000. Well, trucks are already expensive. You're not going to get, like, an F-150 Lariat or something for less than you know, it's going to be, they're expensive these days. So those prices aren't crazy.
Yeah, but let me tell you, I had a 2012 Ford Raptor with 32,000 miles on it, and I sold it to a dealer for $45,000. A dealer. So, I mean, this was a 8-9-year-old model truck. And yes, it had low miles, and it was a beautiful truck, but dang. And I was just looking through Auto Trader the other day, and I saw a 2019 Raptor, and they wanted $80,000. And so I thought, what? Come on, a used truck, $80,000? And of course, again, very low miles. But then I was noodling around somewhere else, and I found another one, $80,000. I thought, how can that be? These are used vehicles. You know why? Because nobody's got any new ones because of all the issues they were having with the semiconductor chips and stuff. We've been talking about that.
Yep. And they reallocated them someplace else. So then people go, oh, I'll just get a used one. And then the used car prices are going up.
Yeah, I know. It's really, and that's what's happening to the market. It's, you just got to be really careful anyway. So yeah, autotrader.com, are any of these things we've been talking about stories in there that I can send people to, or are they just
the F-150 story is going to go up tomorrow. Okay. The fuel prices story is up, and there's also, just for fun, 10 best used luxury SUVs for under $20,000. Look for that one too.
There you go. Lots of great stories, autotrader.com. Like I said, when I used to use Autotrader back in the day, I bought the centerfold. I was a centerfold guy. Sorry. There is no magazine anymore because you don't need one, because now you have the full array of information, vehicles for sale, as well as news and videos and all types of things. Autotrader.com. I'm a proud user of Autotrader for, I think, from the time, I don't know, how old is Autotrader? Because I'm looking at
online since the 90s, but way before that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I've been, was using the paper when it was, I think, before that, like you said. I don't want to age myself. All right, Brian, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
All right, autotrader.com. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more. Shopping cars online is a hassle, or is it? You probably search this site, that site, browse here, search there. Who has the time or the patience? Autotempest.com is the internet's best car shopping tool. With one easy search, see all the cars from the web's top car shopping sites all at once. Why browse some of the cars when Autotempest.com gives you everything? Autotempest.com, all the cars, one search. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And it is time now to bring in my fourth and final guest for the show. I always save the best for last. Of course, I say that to everybody. Carl Brower. How you doing, Carl?
I'm here. I'm with you. I'm whole. I'm alive. Wait. Is that all true? I don't know if all that's true. Most of that's true.
Well, at least we can hear you. You could be in prison for all we know, and it doesn't matter, though. automotive industry analyst it does many things. One writes stories for Forbes Autos. As a matter of fact, last time you were on, you talked about this 2021 Ducati Monster, of which that story is now out, and I know it was real fresh. But that story, if you guys are motorcyclists and you want to know about this new crazy Ducati Monster, do you want to touch on it real quick since the story's out and you've written it, it's refreshed in your mind? And, you know, I haven't ridden a motorcycle in a long time. I think I'd be afraid to anymore. I'm so fat. I'd be like the Michelin man on the back of a motorcycle.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I mean, I've been riding bikes for a long time, but, you know, 30 years ago, I had a 29 years ago, I had a 91 Ducati 851.
Right.
And it was fast, called a superbike, you know, and it probably had like 80 or 90 horsepower. This thing's got 111 horsepower. a huge broad torque band. It's very light. They lighten it up in the redesign, 40 pounds, which is over 10% of its body weight. You know, its total mass got dropped.
Right.
So it's just fast. But the cool thing is it's also really easy to ride. You know, they call the Ducati Monster, and I think my subhead was like Monster Vibe, sweetheart ride. You know, it's got the cool exhaust note that you want from that 90-degree V-twin that they've got in those, they've had in those bikes for decades, and they make this great torque curve, and they sound awesome. So it has that monster look and that monster exhaust note, but it's really just a total sweetheart. And,
so and, this reminds me.
The electronics, oh my God.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, I mean, listen, that's where everything's going, right? And soon enough, you're going to be talking about all this stuff going, and it's electric because, you know, Harley Davidson even makes electric motorcycles. But this reminds me of my brother's dog, by the way. Okay? Now, the reason is, of course, you call this Ducati Monster, and you say it's got a sweet side to it. My brother's dog must weigh 4 pounds, and its name is Moose. Okay, right? And so it's like, but you put the name Monster on something. There's some pretty big expectations there, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you roll into the throttle, and this thing will hoist the front wheel without a second thought. But then it's got electronics. And one of the electronics that does all these things, you know, like ABS, you know, analog brakes, we all know of, traction control. Yeah, it's got a form of traction control. Alan, it's got wheelie control. You can dial in how high you want the front wheel to go.
No.
So you don't have to worry about it flipping on, over on the back of you. Yeah,
oh,
you're like,
my God.
There's four stages.
But that's
like,
not fair. Hold on. That's not fair. Right?
Totally cheating.
Yeah, because everybody has to completely eat it like 50 times before they actually master the wheelie on something that has...
Not now.
Yeah, not anymore. Oh, that sucks, man. That so sucks.
Yeah, wheelie control. It's got launch control so that you can just totally dump the clutch and wind out the throttle, and it'll make sure that it only delivers as much power to the rear wheel as it's got traction for, just like in a car. And by the way, it starts at $11,000. So you get a heck of a lot of motorcycle and a lot of advanced tech for under $12,000.
All right. So I don't want to beat a dead horse because we talked about this once on the radio show, but this story is now available at Forbes Autos. And what's the best way to find it, Carl? I mean, obviously, can you put Ducati Monster and boom, there it is.
It probably ranks pretty well for Ducati Monster review, but if you type Ducati Monster and Forbes, it should be like the first thing that shows up.
Okay.
Or if you type my name, Carl Brower and Ducati, it will also show right up.
All right. D-U-C-A-T-I for those that don't know how to spell Ducati. All right. Monster.
And K-A-R-L for those who don't know how to spell Carl. Carl, B-R-A-U-E-R.
Wow. Brower. That's right. That's true. Cause you can do it with a C. Okay. You have test driven recently. I have not test driven a whole lot. I just started getting cars again about a month ago, which is we get like one a week to test and to talk about. And I've been doing a lousy job about talking the cars that I've been driving. I need to find somebody else that's driving the same thing so we can go back and forth what I try to do. But you've driven something, the 2021 Acura TLX Type S. The embargo has finally lifted. You can talk about it. What's going on?
Yeah, so this is the first, you know, Type S badged Acura in like 12 years. It's like the late 2000s. But that name's got some history and some equity that anyone who's a fan of Acura recognizes. Type S was kind of their, you know, M Sport, you know, from BMW,
AMG
or AMG
from
Mercedes.
Right.
So yeah, and it's great to see that name back, and it lives up to its heritage. You know, the TLX, the base sedan that this Type S is overlaid on, this Type S trim level, is really good, Alan. I mean, I drove the standard sedan last fall, and I remember my first thought after I drove it was, this chassis is begging for more, as in more power, more speed, because you could feel how stable and secure the chassis is. And of course, the Acura folks were happy to put out that they engineered the TLX, the standard one, the higher volume one, knowing full well there was a Type S version coming, so that the base one had to live up to it. So even if you buy a base one, you're going to get a car that has this great, secure, ultra stiff, you know, no flexy body chassis that feels great, even in the standard TLX. But the Type S adds a turbocharged 3.5 liter V6. Sorry, I think it's 3.2 liter V6, but it's a turbocharged V6, and it's got an incredibly flat power curve, and it's got super handling all-wheel drive standard. So, you know, that's basically where that four-way torque vectoring sends the power to the right wheels. not just in a sense of traction, which lots of them do, but also to actually help steer the car. Like if you're coming out of a corner and you turn the wheel a certain degrees to one side or the other, it sends power to the wheels so that the vehicle helps the vehicle go where you're pointing the steering wheel to get the nose pointed where you want it.
Now, when you talk about vectoring this and torque curve there and what'd you call it, hoisting the front wheel off the ground, where do you get these words? Is there like a kind of like a thesaurus for auto writers or something you pull this all out of? Hoisting yes, the front wheel. I love that.
People joke about that it's a whole other language, and they're right.
It is.
Talking about cars and mechanicals, it's like a whole other foreign language, and you could teach a class in it and take a semester on it to get there. But yeah, it's all the car geeks talk that all us car geeks talk.
Well, it's called wordsmithing, and it's wonderful because it's like when you said that a little while ago about the monster, the Ducati monster, hoist the front wheel. I thought, damn, I'm envious of that word, hoist. You know, it's funny. Anyway,
so
the drivability of it. I mean, you know, this is compare it to something that everybody knows out there. What is it most like? Just curious.
So I would say it's similar in size, shape. It's less expensive, so it's a good value play of like a BMW M3. You know, the M3 sedan or the Mercedes C-Class AMG. Audi RS, you know, would be another one, like an S4 or an RS4. So it's their high performance entry luxury sedan, but it's got a lot of room inside and it's really neat looking. It's based off the Type S concept that was out like 2 years ago that I think was a very dramatic design. And then they translate that into the base TLX style within a year, and it carried over almost unchanged, thankfully, because it looked really good in concept form. And now this is the performance version of it. So, oh, by the way, something you have to say for anyone who's an audiophile, Acura has been focusing on that for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's got this Elliott Shiner audio system in it that's amazing.
Yeah, it's the L's, ELS. Yeah, no question. He's one of the iconic producers of music. And he says that sitting inside of an Acura, his music even sounds better, you know, because you're
right.
They point the speakers at you. We're going to come back and talk more with Carl Brower, automotive industry analyst, Forbes Autos contributor. You can find a lot of these stories at Forbes. Also, he's a North American Car and Truck of the Year and juror and board member. And the guy's out there, man, way out there. Not sure how far out there he could get, but he's out there. Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years. All right, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo. Thanks to Brembo. Also, Subaru and Dodge and Autotempest.com and Craftsman and Shell. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Carl Brower's on the line. He'll get envious of all my wonderful sponsors. Carl Brower's with us.
Yes, he will.
I have good sponsors, there's no question about it. I'm very picky about that, as you know. Okay, so we were talking about the 2021 Acura TLX Type S. Can you tell me how much that sucker sells for? Because at the end of the day, that's where the rubber meets the road, right? What am I going to spend?
Right at $54,000.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, it's loaded. There are basically no options except an upgraded tire and wheel option. Otherwise, it comes with everything. Heated and cooled front seats. And wireless, you know, Apple CarPlay and the whole thing. It's all packed in there.
So
that great audio system, 17-speaker audio system, all standard.
Right on. Just to wrap things up now with a couple of things as we approach kind of the end of the show. We have another segment or two. But, you know, by the way, Lauren Fix says to say hello. Brian Moody says to say hello. All these, you know, we're all a bunch of folks that run around the world together driving and testing and playing and doing things like this. But we've been talking a lot about a couple things. One is the chips, you know, everybody, not potato chips, but the electronic chips that are causing cars not to be able to make it to market. My sister calls me from Texas today, and she's like, there are cars sitting, you know, over here in these fields, but the cars at the car lot, the car lots are like empty. And I'm like, what's going on? They're waiting for some little thing that they can plug in. What's going to happen? When is this going to kind of finally catch up? Because a lot of the car dealers, the new car dealerships, are sitting with like 25% inventory. They're spreading it out as far as they can, but it's starting to look really bad. It's a little sad, you know?
100%. And you're right, Alan, that we've been looking at the data through our data sources, and we've watched the new car inventory drop. We watched it drop 16% in 1 month from early April to early May.
Yeah, that's huge.
So undeniably, we're seeing a lot of loss in inventory that's not being, you know, refilled by cars because they can't build any because of this chip shortage. So that's definitely going on. And, you know, I think we're stuck here for probably most of the rest of the year. I don't think we're going to see this fixed much before the end of this calendar year.
Wow.
And I think there's a lot of learnings going on. I think the automakers are like, okay, how do we not let this happen again? So there's a lot of people who are, you know, ready to reevaluate their supply chains, reevaluate their chip suppliers, reevaluate the market as a whole. And remember, one of the problems among many was that there were so many people buying computers and game consoles because everyone was stuck inside.
Oh,
they need all those same chips.
Right.
And a lot of those companies have higher profit margins. You know, most people know this, the cars are not very good for profit margins. So
if you're
a chip maker.
I was going to say, when you're the chip maker,
you know,
they hammer you. I mean, they hammer you and keep hammering you, and over the years have hammered you down to where you have sharpened that pencil until there's like nothing but an eraser with a little piece of lead sticking out of it. You know, it's like there's no more pencil left. It's sad.
Right.
So you're right. They're going to send the stuff where the money is. Wow. Well, so what does that mean? So my sister says, she says, I had four F-550s maybe, you know, because they had a one-ton crew cab dually, four-wheel drives. They were either 450s or five, whatever the highest, because they have traveling petting zoos. And of course, all of the fairs were shut down you know, just their business started shriveling up. And so they sold off four beautiful two-year-old trucks. And she says, we got as much as we paid for them. And I told her, I said, I sold my 2017 about just before this whole thing started for what I paid for it. And it was 3.5 years old. So right now, people, if you've got a truck, especially a nice truck that doesn't have a jillion miles on it, that's a piece of gold, right, Carl?
It 100% is, and it's really interesting because we're also tracking that, and we're watching people who've owned a vehicle for the past year, two, 3 years, trucks, basically what you're describing, and it's an appreciating asset. How often do you have a used vehicle is an appreciating asset, Alan?
Right.
That's
just
not common.
Well, it's not common, and you and I have been able to do that a couple of times, and we felt like we were the luckiest guys in the world. And everybody who owns a nice truck or a nice car or, you know, and even a nice SUV that has had it for 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden you're going to go, wow, this thing has appreciated, which is wonderful. Good for them. All right. Hang tight, because when we come back, I know you want to talk about the miraculous all electric, all new F-150. We've talked to death about it on this show, but Carl's going to give his insights as he is a automotive industry analyst. We'll be right back.
Right.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
So Ford Motor Company, just a couple days ago, has shown us the new all-electric Ford F-150 Lightning. Carl Brower is going to weigh in on it. This whole show, we've been talking the living heck out of this thing. From what I understand, and it's like all my other compadres are saying this, Ford knocked it out of the park with this. And really, what they did is They're like that little kid that just hit the ball and it, you know, their dad is teaching them how to play, you know, baseball. And the ball that Ford hit out of the park hit the crotch of Elon Musk with his Cybertruck that doesn't even exist. It's like, oh, you know, because Ford's got it. So what do you think about this thing, Carl?
Yeah, I'm super impressed that Ford went as far in as they did. And I probably should have expected, because the hybrid was more than just, you know, a battery pack that helps you get better mileage in the regular or in the hybrid F-150 they showed off just a few months ago, right? We were all surprised by how really truck owner oriented the new hybrid truck is.
Right.
And so now here comes the electric one. And guess what? It's got all these features that go way beyond just having a battery pack in an F-150. It's like, you know, we're talking, you know, all sorts of torque. We've talking a front storage area that you can now use. Right. That's just incredible. Right. The ability to power your house
for 3 days,
switch on so that it powers the house. Yeah. You know, the truck has got everything you'd want, not just to, you know, not burn CO2, but to do all these things that truck owners need a truck to do better than the normal truck would do.
It's brilliant. So the question is, and we talked about it a moment ago, with the chip shortages and with the supply line shortages, for $100, you can reserve yours, get in line today. And already, I guess, like 25 or 30,000 people. I think the first day it was like 20,000 people, right? So all these people are raising their hand, putting down their $100. My son-in-law is one of them. He's like, I'm buying that. So what are they going to do? How are they going to keep up with this demand with all the issues that they're having delivering regular F-150s?
Well, remember, we're like a year away from this thing being produced. So if the timing on when the chip shortage gets resolved, if I'm right on that, hopefully, which we're talking the next, you know, 6 to 8 months at the most, then we'll be okay by the time this is being produced. But that's 100% correct that right now, if they had to produce this and try to keep up with demand, they'd be in trouble. Like everyone else is already in trouble trying to keep up with new car demand.
Right, right. Well, so what you're saying is no matter what, everybody, it's like they show it to us and we're like, I want one, I want one. It's like here, the Bronco. That happened with the Bronco. And people are still don't have them yet, right? I imagine they're coming pretty soon. Several of my friends have bought them. Several of my friends said, why didn't you buy one? I said, well, I'm not sure about that. I don't know if I like the way it looks quite yet. So I went out and I bought a Jeep Mojave Gladiator. And my friend, first thing he says to me is, that thing's ugly. I said, you're ugly. You know, I said, I'm overweight, but I can lose weight. What are you going to do? Right. And so we laughed about it because, you know, car guys are so opinionated, guys and gals both. But I'm not sure I like the looks of it yet. But I know what's going to happen is we're going to get to SEMA, which is November of this year, and it's happening. And all of the aftermarket world is going to have souped up and jacked up and made these things look awesome. And I'm going to go, now I like it. So, and truthfully, that's what the Mojave package is of the Gladiator, the Wrangler that they've turned, the Jeep Wrangler, they've turned into a truck. They call it a Gladiator. It's the souped up hot rod, you know, dual shocks, fancy paint, fancy this, that, and the other, big wheels and tires version. That's what it took for me to go out and buy one. And I got to tell you, I love it. I love it. And it's only a V6. I put a Borla exhaust on it. I love it. I want to put a supercharger on it because you can never have enough horsepower. But, you know, and of course, Jeep has an electric Jeep, right? So everybody's going this way. And it's kind of fun to watch, don't you think? Even though you and me aren't really electric car guys, even though you did own one. So,
Yeah. No, it's I keep saying, Alan, the beautiful part of the world we're in now and hopefully the world we stay in going forward even more so is the diversity of choice, you know, the options you've got.
Yep.
Because I don't think this is not a one size fits all world. And we used to have, you know, you basically had gas and diesel. Those were your options even up until like 15 years ago, really. And now all of a sudden you got hybrids and you got full electrics and, you know, people are playing around with fuel cell and, you know, I think that's great. I think we should be using all these where they make sense.
Well, fuel cell. I mean, it's interesting to me that that hasn't gone farther in the amount of time since they've started doing them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Well, we'll see what's going on. All right. You can find Carl a lot of different places. He works with iccars.com, carexpert.com, Forbes Autos. If you want to see the monster, the Ducati monster, you can see that story there. What else is there? Did you put Acura there too, the TLX?
Type S, TLX okay. Type S is there too. So if you just do Carl Brower search, the Forbes page is one of the first ones that comes up. You can see all of them.
Right on. I'm going to go play with my cars. How about you?
Yeah.
Yes, just say yes.
That's what this weekend's or these weekends are for. You're absolutely right.
All right, you guys, go have fun. Be careful. Be safe. God bless. We'll see you next week.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink Multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine and 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.